Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we are hopefully going to be concluding our discussion on what hinders our purpose now. And we've been looking at different topics, but really what it comes down to is all we're really trying to do is give you an inroad into what God is already talking to you about. Like anything else, you are in a unique position. You have a unique path that God is leading you on, and our goal is never to interfere with that, instead to be available to Him to communicate more effectively with you. So we're not saying make a list, go through this, and be checking how you're doing in each one of these areas on a regular basis, even though if that's what God wants you to do, do that. But the purpose is not so you can prevent hindrances. That would then become a hindrance. Instead, it's to put into words that are more easily recognizable what God is already talking to you about. You've probably felt promptings, and we describe it as God saying something to us, however you want to describe it. And all our teachings in general do is try to make it more understandable to your soul. Your spirit is already fully in tune and accomplishing everything God wants to accomplish in your life. But our soul, that's where so much is going on. And we're looking for the simplicity of devotion to Christ. And sometimes it's so simple, we're kind of flummoxed because it should be more complicated. It should be something that we have to strive and work, put all our effort into. But then we go back to our definition of grace. Accepting unconditionally what God has given unconditionally and just saying thanks. We want to add to that. We want to have a part. And part of that's built into the way God made your soul. And our being humans here on this earth, at least our soulical part of us, your spirit being is not human, it's spirit. But while we're here on this earth, there are constraints and attributes that God has built in for His own purposes. We may or may not know what or why He did that while we're here on this earth, and that's really up to Him whether He explains at any given time what happened before we came here and what happens afterwards, if there's even time where we would call it an after, but whatever's next and whatever was previous. But when we again remember that He loves us and He's bringing us into oneness, spirit, soul, and body, that we can be one ourselves and therefore one in Him, since your spirit is already one in Him. That was Jesus' prayer, that we be one as He and the Father are one. Now, I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what it feels like, the best representation we have is Jesus, and yet we're not born of God. We're born of a human. So we have flesh. We have, our soul has lived without God, and so likes to do its things, its own things, its own way. Jesus' soul never lived without God. His soul always knew its source of life. He was born with eternal life. You and I aren't. We are now because we've been reborn. But that's a significant way our lives differ. Functionally speaking, you know, and I'm certainly not going into the he's son of God and has all the divine attributes, but just as far as practically speaking, we are overcoming an area that he did not have to contend with. Thankfully so. That was good. Because of that, he could be a payment for all the debt that was owed. And you and I couldn't. So that was perfect for God's plan. But how then, if our spirit is now with him, and we are now joint heirs and co-inheritors, how then do we learn to live as joint heirs and co-inheritors? Little brothers to Jesus Christ, sharing the same Father, the same Spirit, the same goals and purpose and attributes. It's a process. And it's an individualized process. So our goal is merely to accompany you along the way, helping to echo or reflect what God is saying to you already. That's what you're experiencing when you feel that, you know, that makes sense, or that's what I was trying to understand. Or, God was just talking to me about something like that. Or, I get that. That makes perfect sense. It's not that the teaching is making sense on its own. It's that God was already talking to you. And this teaching, in whatever form, now puts it into terms that your soul, your mind, your will, and emotions can make part of its own belief system. So this is not a teaching in the sense of, if you do this, God will bless you, or you'll become spiritual, or three easy steps. Now, we do have easy steps, and we do list them, and you are encouraged to do them. But the result of those easy steps is to be able to hear God. That's all we need, is to be able to hear him clearly, to be able to test what we're hearing, and then encourage one another in acting on what we hear. So let's go back to where we left off last week, talking about religion hindering our purpose now. We talked about how our preconceived religious beliefs can be some of our greatest hindrances. When we talk about Christianity, doctrine, teachings, you're going to go to what you've been taught, what you believe. And none of us believes something that we don't have confidence in. We believe it because we think it's true. So let's start, though, that with the assumption that at least some of what we believe may not be 100% true. We want to understand that just as any other area of our life, politics, how we handle relationships, how we handle finances, we inherited that according to the family we grew up in. Whether it's we embraced it, embraced their views, or we rejected and went the other way. That's your first exposure to God. And in many ways, how you approach him today is based on the family you are put into. And he's the one who put you there. So he's not blaming you or blaming your family, your parents, for instance, in how you were raised. He's the one who put you in that family for whatever reason. So all of us start with where we are right now. Now your spirit already knows truth, but your soul has built a belief system according to what your soul was exposed to, what you were exposed to, but also what suits your temperament, how your soul is put together. So as you grow, as you change, your soul, and as those wounds are healed, we want to be sure to give God an opportunity to change our beliefs. The whole concept of, for instance, doing a Bible study, there is an assumption there that you will learn something. There will be a new insight, a new understanding. And when you think of it, that's actually a recognition that you didn't have all the answers in that area. So allow God to show you in your beliefs where you may need to change, where you may not want to hold on as tightly to those beliefs. Now, he's going to have to be the one to change those beliefs. It's not going to be because just someone else comes in and tells you this is the truth. God isn't going to just say, okay, stop believing this and substitute somebody else's truth. He's your God, and he has bought you with the price, and it is his privilege and right to be the one to reveal truth. Now, just as an aside, I think that our wineskins, our souls, are so immature and brittle that we cannot contain or perceive even 1/1,000,000th of the truth that God wants to share with us right now. We would not be able to contain it. So the more flexible we are with what we already have, the more God is able to reveal more truth, more of himself, more life. Religion also hampers our fulfillment of our purpose now through those we have placed in authority over us. Now, God, we often think, okay, God has placed this pastor over me, or God has placed this person over me. Really, he hasn't. Because he's the only one in authority, spiritually speaking, in your life. He is your head. Now, he puts people in our lives to teach us and instruct us and be our elders. But they are not authority. They are teachers. And we often believe that making our leaders happy, by believing them often, also makes God happy. Well, first, God is not depending on us or anyone else to make him happy. He's not codependent. He doesn't need you to be or do or say anything to be happy. He is in control of his own destiny. Secondly, our relationship with God is between him and us and no one else. This gives God and us, God and you, the only authority over that relationship and everything that springs from it. This relationship, this spiritual relationship, is nothing like, for instance, an employment where you have a boss, where that boss does have an expectation that you will do things the way you're told. This is not about an employment. This is about a personal living relationship, becoming one. So if you want to get along with God, stay out of his chair. But also, don't let anyone else sit in it. Don't let anyone take that authority that God has not given. Don't you give something that he hasn't given. Again, just because you've got a leader in your home group that you think is great, and certainly we want to learn things and we want to be respectful, they don't have authority over your life. They may, occupationally, they may be a policeman there, and then they have a situational authority, but it's not spiritual. Don't let others establish standards for pleasing God. Don't give in to others' expectations of service or conditions of salvation. Ask God. Some of the doctrines regarding evangelism and losing your salvation are just totally opposite of eternal life. But they suit some people's temperaments. And God has a hard time revealing, taking that tool from them. You think of some of these missionaries who are driven by a passion for people, and they think if they don't reach them, they're going to hell. What a terrible thing. How could you ever possibly sleep if you thought that that was the case? And yet if you try talking to them and saying, well, maybe that's not the case, that would be far worse for them. But God is a jealous God, in a good sense. He is jealous over you. He loves you, and he does not want you giving yourself to another, and he doesn't want you brutalized by others, exerting inappropriate authority. You are nobody else's responsibility, spiritually speaking, but God's. Period. Don't give others the authority over your spiritual life and walk that God has reserved for himself. So, finally, we find that religion is diametrically opposed to that freedom that Jesus purchased for us 2,000 years ago. Freedom. With freedom comes responsibility. That's why we have eternal life. That's why we are here on this earth, to learn how to exercise that authority and live as a free spirit being. The object of teaching is not knowing, but doing. It's not knowing, but coming freely and unencumbered to God as you are right now. Accepting that he accepts you as you are right now, and he loves you. And as far as he's concerned, you're finished. You're done. You don't have to do anything else for him to completely and freely love you right now. Every single sin, your sin nature has already been taken care of. It's gone. He's done. What he's working on now is to bring you into oneness so you can receive eternal life throughout your being. So it is for your benefit, so you can enjoy being a spirit. It doesn't affect him. He's not waiting around, waiting for you to complete the test, or waiting around for you to check off the last item on your checklist so he can finally call you child. You are his now. The truth we learn is to bring us to him. And as we commit ourselves to the implication of that truth, we haven't learned, even if we pass every so-called test, because the true test is whether we come. This is why we often find ourselves dealing with the same issues in our lives over and over again, because we hear the truth and we know the truth, but we don't respond. We don't come. This is our goal here, is to make it as easy as possible and encouraging as possible to come. Not for salvation, unless that's necessary, but for relationship, for healing, for oneness, for whatever it is that you need from God. But to remind you over and over again, only God satisfies. Contentment is only in that oneness with him. It's not your job to make him happy or to fulfill his projects or to be a light to the world. That's his job. Now, he may do that, he may do that through you, but that's something he's going to do. The more you focus on him and value that relationship with him, the more freedom he has to move in and through you. One of my favorite illustrations is, picture yourself at a long dining table, a banquet table, with Jesus at the end of the table, and you're sitting fairly close to him, but maybe a couple of people in front, between you and him. And there's wonderful food, wonderful conversation. Everybody's having a wonderful time. Jesus turns and says, "Can you pass the salt?" and you pass him the salt. Then he turns to someone else and says, pass the mashed potatoes. And they pass the mashed potatoes. And he comes back to you and says, go raise that one from the dead. So you get off away from the table and you go raise that one from the dead and you come back and you sit back down and you go on with your meal. And another one down the other end of the table says, go speak to my son who's discouraged. Give him my word. And that person goes and does. And then comes back and sits and picks up where he left off. When we are in relationship with him, whatever he says, we do, and it's no big deal. Because he has equipped us. He has trained us and made us able to do what he asks us to do. Now, here's the difference. Religion tells us to be like Jesus. What would Jesus do? When in reality, only Jesus is Jesus. Trying to be like Jesus is acting. And acting, even if it's like Jesus, is still acting, no matter how good it looks. But the more we dine with Jesus and learn to depend on him, we are free to be who we are and not act like someone else. And we gain that confidence that the doing that arises out of our being will line up over time with the reality of who Jesus is in us, our spirit being. This is why we are always emphasizing spending time with him and focusing in and letting him be the teacher, the instructor, and the standard. Not so that we can measure against him, but so that he can free us from our own standards. So finally, dependence on him overcomes all hindrances. From our perspective, there are some definite hindrances that keep us from fulfilling God's purpose in our lives. We generally get bogged down trying to battle these hindrances ourselves. And it is here that we usually spend most of our time, trying to accomplish on our own what God said, I'll take care of. Will not let us overcome these in our own strength. But remember, God loves you. He's created every circumstance in your life for you, not against you. And he has everything under control. He is working out every circumstance in your life to bring you into the fulfillment of the purpose and plan for your time here on this earth. As we learn to cooperate with him and give him the time and attention necessary, we begin to believe the truth. We begin to believe what he says about us because we hear it right from him. And we begin to truly walk and live in the dependent relationship he desires for us. Now, this is something you have to experience to know how wonderful it is. But once you do, once you taste of that freedom through dependence, you'll begin to want nothing else but more of knowing him. So thanks for tuning in. If you have any questions, drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. We'll be getting back together again the same time next week. Until then, thanks for tuning in. This has been Diane Thomas of Rainers Radio. Have a great night.